Boker Tov world. Today's daf in Masechet Sanhedrin is daf Kuf, and we're learning today in Ilui Nishmas David ben Eliezer, Moshe Reuven Handel's father's Hatzal, and also Mordechai Schenkler's sister Shira bat Zelik. And so we got up to nine lines down on daf Kuf. And we were talking about what defines this idea in the Mishnah of an apikoros. We got the general idea that someone who is mizalzel in the Rabbanon at some level, that's considered to be an apikoros. The question is to what level and how low down of a zilzel are we referring to? So Rav Papa says, look, even if somebody says, hani Rabbanon, you know, these rabbis, that's how you talk. And Rav Papa actually once forgot the way he was talking, and he was also upset about certain rabbis. And these rabbis, because he made that error, wasn't thinking. Yaz Esiv Betanita, because of that, he kept a fast that should be a kapora. Levi Bar Shmuel v'Ravuna Bar Chiya avikametakni mitpachot sifrei devei Reb Yehuda. So there were these sforim. Sforim in those days, of course, meant that they were scrolls. They didn't have books. So there were some scrolls that belonged to the Beis HaMedrash of Rav Yehuda, and they were coming to fix the covers. So Kimatu l'Megillat Esther, so they came to a Megillah that was Esther. So they said to Rav Yehuda that, well, Hani Megillat Esther lo boi mitpacha. So Megillas Esther doesn't have the same kedusha, it's not Matame Yadayim, like the other Megillot, so it doesn't need to have a proper cover, does it? Now, that's not the way that you ask a question. If you ask a question, you ask a question. And you say, does this Megillas Esther need a cover or not need a cover? But to take for granted, well, I know the answer, but I just want your confirmation. That's also chutzpah. What, you know the answer, so don't ask me. You don't know the answer, so ask like a mensch. What, you got to prove to me that you know already? But that itself is a chutzpah. He said to them, you know, that approach is also something like apikursos. What kind of way is that to ask? To always protect the opinions about you? Rav Nachman Amar. An apikoros is somebody who calls his Rebbe by his name. Where do we see? Dom Rabbi Yochanan. We see this from Gehazi. Why did Gehazi get such a terrible punishment and so on? So the idea that it says in our Mishnah, Gehazi, I mean, you think that he should be the one that actually comes to symbolize a person that's not going to be zeche to Elam Haba. Actually, the mission has to tell us that you want to know what it is to be a person that's not zeche to Elam Haba. Gehazi. How could it be that would be his? I mean, I understand that he got tzaras and so on. That we understand why he was in that situation. But what was it that made him a model for someone who doesn't have Elam Haba? That was Mipnei Shekara L'Rabo Bishmo. And that's coming to illustrate the idea of the apikoros that the Mishnah mentions as one of those who doesn't have a chelek in Olam Haba. Where do we see that he called his Rebbe by his name? Shenemar vayomer Gehazi Adoni HaMelech Zot HaIsha v'zeh bina asher hecheyeh Elisha. So he was in the middle of describing all of the amazing things that had happened when he was with Elisha, and just at that moment, in walks the woman with the boy that Elisha actually had been Mechaya Mason. And he said, oh, here is the one that Elisha was Mechaya. How does he say Elisha? How does he not say Mori Varabi Elisha? So basically, we see from here that the whole relationship was a messed up relationship, which is basically important for us to know that the idea of the way in which we see how it is that Elisha responded to Gehazi and the way that Gehazi treated Elisha basically becomes clear from here that there wasn't really the proper respect and relationship between a Talmud to a Rav, and because of that, in fact, we find that Elisha gave up on him and didn't feel that he was going to invest in him any longer. That's not a relationship. Yosef, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Kameda, Rabbi Zera, Yosef, Kama. So Rabbi Yirmiyah was sitting, and after asking Rishus to ask, he was sitting again. Obviously, he didn't speak lechatchila sitting. That'd be something of a chutzpah. But is Yosef, Kama? We know that the beautiful story that the Navi speaks about in Yechezkel is that there's going to be a beautiful river coming out, starting with a very thin bit of water that becomes a massive river, ultimately. It comes out from the Kodesh HaKodeshim of the Beis HaMikdash. And along the sides of this beautiful river, Alav Kol Minei Migadim, there's going to be all types of goodies. Shenemar, V'al HaNachal Ya'aleh Al Sifato Mizeh Mizeh Ko Eitz Machal Lo Yibol Aleu V'lo Yitom Piryo L'Chodashav Yivaker Ki Mimav Min HaMikdash Hem HaYotzim V'aya Piryo L'Machal V'aleu L'Trufa. So all along the side of this river, there'll be so many different types of beautiful trees of fruit. The leaves of those trees are never going to wither. Its fruits are never going to run out. It's going to have new fruit every single month. And that's because the water that is in this river that these trees draw from is coming out of the Beis HaMikdash. And because of that, it's going to be very specially nourishing. And the leaves even will be for a terufa. Now, what exactly is the meaning of that word terufa? Is it the concept of refuah? So then just say refuah. Terufa seems to mean a very special thing, which we're going to analyze what that means. Anyway, at that moment, Omar Lehahu Saba, so there was this old man that was there, and he said to him, Yasher, you did a good job with that drasha. I can tell you that Rabbi Yochanan said exactly the same thing. And that means that Osid HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lotzi Nachal, that's what it must mean. Because what it says is that since there is water coming out of the Beis HaMikdash, so then that means that this is going to be the Nachal that will be brought out of the Beis HaMikdash. And Rabbi Yochanan said the same thing. So Rabbi Yirmiyah asked Rabbi Zera, Ki Hai Gav De Michse Af Keruta? Saying something like that, is that a chutzpah to tell someone? I mean, I don't know who he is. You know, he's telling me, I'm quoting, I'm saying over a wonderful pshat, and I had permission to say this pshat, and comes along somebody, yeah, very nice. That's what Rabbi Yochanan said. I mean, is that nice? I'm like, well, of course it's nice. I mean, I see you, I understand. He's saying that Rabbi Yochanan was masking to you, which means you were talking well. What's your problem? Did you hear something that made you think that this would be considered to be an afkirusa? I'll tell you what it was that you're confusing with this case. Ishmielecha, hashmielecha. There was something like this that you were told is afkirusa. There was a maisa once where Rabbi Yochanan was sitting, and he was also talking about the Beis HaMikdash, which is going to be la'atid lavo, the same way that you were talking. And what happened was that he said, Atida kadosh baruch hu la'avi avanim tovot umargaliot, shen shloshim ha-shloshim amot, v'chokek bahem eser barom esrim, u'ma'amidan b'sha'arei Yerushalayim. I'm being medayik from the pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be bringing these beautiful, valuable pearls and valuable stones, and they're going to be 30 amos by 30 amos, and he's going to cut them out to make doorways in them so that these will be the new gates of Yerushalayim. Where do I see that? Because it says in the pasuk, V'samti katchod shimshofayich, Usharayich lavnei egdach. So in Yeshayahu it says that Yerushalayim is going to be made out of katkod, some type of valuable mineral, and the gateways will be made out of. Now egdach comes from the word lagdiach, to drill through which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to drill through those stones, that they'll be so big that it will drill the entrances to Yerushalayim through the stones. Since the gateways were 20 and they still needed another 10 amas above them, it wasn't holes in the wall. So because of that, I'm telling you, it must be that it was Shloshim al Shloshim and the gate was Esrim. Anyway, one of the Talmidim that was there in listening to him was laughing in his heart. Lig legal of Otto Talmid. I mean, that's ridiculous. I dare you to find a valuable pearl the size of the egg of the smallest bird. So you're going to tell me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to find stones like that. Anyway, it was a time when that Talmid went on one of these magical journeys. I remember we've had so many places where we had these magical journeys. You know, that's where you discover all the things you never knew. Take a look what happened to Darwin. My God, he gets to these places and all of a sudden there's a million finches and nobody ever heard of. Unbelievable. So these types of ocean journeys were always the way in which people discovered the truth. So there he is, traveling in the ocean. And he passes by these Malachi Hashores that are cutting out these enormous diamonds and pearls. And he says to them, what is this for? And they said to him, well, you may not know it, but Atid HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'amidam b'share Yerushalayim. These are stones. So all of his worst dreams came true. These are stones that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be putting in the gates of Yerushalayim. So when he got back, Rabbi Yochanan was sitting and giving a drasha. So he walks in and he says, Rebbe, I'm so amazed. You are the one who should be giving all of the drushas, you know? You are roy to be derish because exactly what you had said, I actually saw happening. Omar Loz, Rabbi Yochanan said to him, you empty, disgusting person. But not because your stupid eyes think that you hallucinated, you know, this event. So now you believe me. And when I'm being dirged you from the Torah, you don't understand on a completely different level. That is considered to be milag legal divrei chachamim ata. You're somebody who ridicules what the chachamim say. Yoiv be'enei, Rav Yochanan looked at him and turned him into a pile of bones. Va'asa'o gal shel atzamot. Maybe that's what you heard. So yes, that type of confirmation is ridicule. Oh, I am made that you're the best one to give these drushes. Thank you very much. But in this case, the guy wasn't saying about himself. He was just saying that Rabbi Yochanan said the same shot. Anyway, getting back to the question about these stones and these gates. So the problem is that when the Torah speaks about what is going to be in the end of the brachas that are given at the end of Vayikra, so what does it say? Volech etchem komemiyut. I'm going to make you, komemiyut is double height. And what double height of what? So Rabbi Meir Omer, kishtei komot sha'adam harishon. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu was meniach kapav al adam harishon, and lessened his height to only 100 amos. Obviously, these are not really physical heights, and these stones are not really physical stones. But I mean, if you were really 100 amos high, then of course, in order to support 100 amos high, you'd have to be, you know, a walking building with the same, would be impossible because it's by the cube, your bones would have to be able to support. So you would be a completely, you wouldn't look human, Bichlal. So obviously none of this stuff is meant, as the Maharal points out, none of this stuff is meant in terms of physical measurements. But the lowering of what Adam HaRishon was originally from the Eretz Ad HaShamayim, in Mikzeh HaShamayim, at Mikzeh HaShamayim, he became lessened in stature. We use that word in English as well. Stature is the koma. But we don't mean it in the stature, literally in his height. This is a person of great stature. Doesn't mean he's very tall. So here, whatever you were referring to in terms of the size of the Shari Yerushalayim, so if the people were double the stature of Odomarishan, according to Rabbi Meir, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, the stature of people will be the equivalent of the Heichal itself, and the Heichal was 100 Amma, so it's Keneged Heichal Vekotalav, when you say Vekotalav, so Rashi says that means like the length of the Heichal, including the thickness of the walls, was in fact 100 Amma. So Rashi goes through the entire Cheshbon, which we've done many times in Midas, it's all fine, so it's 100 Amma. How do I know that, says Rabbi Yehuda? Because it says, Asher Banenu Kinetiim, our children, our sons, really it means, as we'll see in a moment, our sons are like trees that have been planted, Megudalim Benu'urehem, and they've been so taken care of from their youth, and their Benotenu Kezaviyot, and our daughters are like the corners of the walls, Bechutavot, Tavnit Echal. So you see, it's supposed to be the same as the Echal. So if it's including the walls of the Echal, Bechutavot, so then it would be 100 Amas. Or maybe, Rashi says, maybe it means the height for the second base of Megdash was 100 Amas. Anyway, the problem is, if the gate into Yerushalayim is only 20 Amot high of diamonds, how would people that are 200 amas high be able to get through it? They'd never be able to walk through the gates of Yerushalayim. So the drasha doesn't make sense. It has to be consistent, right? I mean, whatever it means in terms of the measurements, you can't use a metaphor of having to crawl through this little crawl space for somebody who's 200 amas high. Yes, of course. You think Rabbi Yochanan was talking about the people to get through? He was talking about the air conditioning vents. L'chave de vezikas. He was saying the air conditioning vents in Yerushalayim will be the cutout of diamond that was originally 30 amas, and now it was cut out to have a doorway in it of 20 amas, but the doorway was only for the vents. Come on, guys, it's adorable. Nobody smiles. Nobody enjoys. What's going on around here? The only one that's got a big smile on his face is Moshe Reuven. And my vialeo letrufa. Okay, getting back to that strange word, terufa, which, of course, because of this pasuk, actually became in modern Hebrew, understood kipshuto, an agent of refuah, so a terufa. But the pashtas, this is the first time that we find the word refua being used in that way. So when you say it's terufa, what does that mean? So Rav Yitzchak Bar Avadimi, Rav Chisda, say that it's a remez. Terufa means lahatir peh. So chadamar lahatir peh, it would mean that if a person has had a stroke, he's unable to speak, or maybe he's a mute, if he eats that leaf, so then he will become able to speak. So in other words, even the leaves of the tree that were nourished from the water that came out of the Beis HaMikdash have the keach to give you das and to make it possible for you to express yourself. And that's what it means to be mekusher to the Beis HaMikdash, even through the water that was coming out of the Heichal and the trees that grew from it. And the leaves of that tree are so powerful that they would be able to provide. These, of course, are similar to the Eitzim that were in Gan Eden, because it says they never drop their leaves, and they keep producing fruit always. That's exactly as the Ramban describes what it means to be an Eitz in Gan Eden. So this is a mocker of Das. V'chadamar, it's a mocker of reproduction, because there was the whole Kayach of Adam. Remember, two things came hand in hand. Adam Arishon's speech, to be Kerei Shemes, and Adam Arishon's reproduction, to be Moitzi and Isha. So when it says Lahatir Peh, it means to open up the womb. So those who were unable, they were barren, unable to have children, just participating in that by eating even a leaf of such a tree would make a barren woman able to have children. Itmar. Indeed, it means that those who were unable to speak, they were mute, they'd be able to speak. And Bar Kapora Melahater Pe Akarot, barren women would be given an opportunity to give birth. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, it means what it says. Litrufa. It's an actual medication. So then why say it that way? Why literufa? That's a funny way to speak about medicine, isn't it? What is that word, trufa? It definitely seems to include other words in it. Says Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, yes, it does. It includes the word toar ponim, shabale hapeh. So in other words, those people who are connected to Torah, and they're balei hapeh, because we saw before, Adam la'amal yulad, remember, and we said, I don't know what kind of amal that is, and we ended up saying, it's lo'amal piv nivra, and that was a reference to Lame de Torah. So the tof is toyar, and taking this, even this leave, will make a person who had been oisik b'Torah to such an extent that he was already weakened, and he looked pale, and he was bialik smasmid, you know, and he looks like garbage. He takes a little bit of this leaf, and it's teya ponim shel balei hapeh. Doresh Reb Yehuda bar Rabbi Simon. Kol ha-mashchir ponav al divrei Torah b'olam hazeh, if you darken your face by looking like a mess, if a person never gets out in the sun and doesn't take care of himself, misses his gym, and you look like garbage in Olam Hazeh, and you do this only because you don't want to take off any time from your learning Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mavik zivav l'olam haba, a person like that will shine in Olam Haba, especially. Shenemar mar'ehu kalavanon b'chur ka'arazim. And Rashi says that his Rebbe told him that you'll see Ramazim in the Pesukim beforehand that are a reference to people that are mis'anim in order to be able to learn Torah. Omer Bitanko Berebi Hamiloi, Kol Hamar Ivatzmal Divrei Torah B'Olam Hazeh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mazbi Ol Olam Haba. If you're learning so much, you don't take off time even to eat properly and to take care of yourself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He will give him all that he needs in Olam Haba. Sheneemar Yirviyun Mideshen Beitecha, V'nachal Adonecha Tashkemet, it says, David HaMelech says, here's what Rashi says, that this is a continuation of Ramozim, that people are misanim al divrei Torah. Kyosir Ravdimi, Ravdimi came to Bavel, he said, Asir HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Teinucho Tzadik V'Tzadik Melo Umtsot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give every tzaddik a schar that comes from the full hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, his palm. Kivayocho. Shenemar Baruch Hashem Yom Yom Ya'amos Lano. So the ones is what a person holds in his palm. See, Ya'amos Lano El Yeshua Seinu Sela. Which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will load us down by the giving us so much schar that it will be in the ones of his own hand. Omerle Abaye, that's crazy. Chievsha lomar kein. Halo kvar nemar. Mi madad b'sha'olo mayim. V'shamayim bazerati kein. So what is it saying? That all of the oceans of the earth fit into the palm of his hand, and he measures the entire shamayim by spreading his pinky away from his thumb. And you're telling me that he's going to load you down. This is the whole planet, you understand. So he's going to load down every tzaddik. Where the heck are you going to keep all of that good? How are you going to have such good? This doesn't make sense either. The metaphor doesn't work out, says Abai. Omar, sir, Dimi said to Abai, you know, why don't you know anything about Agadata? You don't understand how to look at these concepts. The Amri b'marava mishmeda rava barmori. Everybody knows this drasha. Osid HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Tein L'Kol Tzadik V'Tzadik Shalosh Meos V'Asra Olamot. So every tzadik has got to have a backup of 310 planets. Now, what do you think all of those planets are for, silly? They are for storage of Malom, so of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's not as if you don't get the closet space together with the bracha. So you'll have enough storage space. Nobody said that these were small little planets like planet Earth. I mean, we're talking about serious-sized planets. So that gives you enough storage space for all of the teva that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be giving you, because it says, La'amchil o'ava yesh, the otzroteyam amalei. That's the whole point. Why will I give you this yesh? so that you'll have storage space for all of the things that I'm giving you. Brilliant Russia. So why didn't you realize that that's what it's goofa, what it's saying? And Yesh Begematria is Tlat Me'av Hasara. So you see, it's a remez to 310 different planets. So, of course, there's plenty of room for storage. Yeah, wonderful. Tanya, Rabbi Meir Omer, B'midash Adam Modedim Lo. The general idea is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats an individual the way that he treats himself, the way that he expresses himself in the world, with chet, or with teva, or with chesed. Take a look what it says. B'sa'asa'a. What do you mean b'sa'asa'a? So asa'asa'a b'shalchat rivena, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu chas v'shalom sends away Klal Yisrael. So it's going to be with a din that is b'sa'asa. B'sa'asa b'pashtus means the top of the wheat. What is that supposed to mean, b'sa'asa? Well, what the pshat is, sa'asa means sa'a b'sa'a. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person mida, sa'a is the mida. So b'sa'a b'sa'a, l'fi the mida, that is what is given to the individual. Omer Rabbi Yeshua, but that's not possible. I mean, what would you say? Adam noten malom sola ani balam hazan. Ani comes along to a person, and he fills up his hands with wonderful things to give that ani. So what are you going to say? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to fill up his hands and give it schar to this person. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu noten lo malom sola olam haba, because that will be mida keneged mida b'sa'a sa'a. But how could he possibly do that? V'achtiv shamayim bazera tikein. Now he, Rabbi Yeshua, actually, hadn't heard this whole conversation with Abaya, obviously, that it comes with the closet space. So he was stam asking, so how is it possible? It doesn't make sense. It's literally mida k'neged mida. It can't be mida k'neged mida, because the mida is totally off. Says Rabbi Meir to Rabbi Yeshua, I don't understand. What are you missing? If I point out to you the logic of it, You're going to tell me that you don't have to agree with me 100%. Take a look at this. Ask yourself. Ezo mida meruba. Mida tova meruba? O mida puranut meruba? So which one is more? So as we know, Avi Omer, mida tova meruba mi mida puranut. First, let me just prove to you. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives something good, it's always more than the payback is, even though it's the same b'sa'asa'a, but it's an, a much greater extent. It's b'sa'asa'a times whatever the appropriate number of times would be in translating something that a person did in Olam Hazeh into reality. So take a look what it says b'midat teva. V'itzav shchakim mimal, v'dalte shamayim patach, v'yamter aleihem man le'echol. Now, it says over here that the doors of heaven were opened when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave out the man to Klal Yisrael, right? What is the lashon that is used when the mabul comes and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is punishing man? So it says over there, arubot ha-shamayim niftachu. Now, arubot are just these windows, right? So a delet, the size of a delet compared to an aruba is times four, because a delet has basically four arubot that you could open up as windows on top and bottom in those days, still even today in many places. So that would mean that you have four times as much in mida teva than you have in mida puranut. Now, what does it say when it comes to mida puranut? It says something that's just as ridiculous, something that there's no way that it could happen unless you're given the additional gift, so to speak, of being able to take it. So it says over there, V'yatzu v'ra'u b'figrei ha'anashim ha'poshim bi, and they will go out, and again, this is all from Yeshayo, that after Melchemes Gog u'Magog, so people will go out and they'll see the bodies of those who are fighting against Mashiach, who are poshim, tolatam lo tamut, they will be rotting forever. Isham lo tichbe, they will be burning forever. There will be nauseating for everyone as a simon forever. Now, come on with forever. You put your finger into a fire. How long is that finger going to survive? You know, it's going to be burnt to a crisp. So ask yourself, so how could we possibly witness the punishment of these Rishayim so that they're going to burn forever in hell? You can't burn forever. You'll burn up, right? So obviously, when we're using that metaphor, it must be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you the blessing, the power to burn forever. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu does that for Rishayim, lekabel poronutam, so then, of course, he's going to have to give you the closet space. So it follows, obviously, if you're going to be able to burn forever in hell, so you think you won't have enough galaxies to be able to store all of the teva that's coming your way. So it's obvious. It's a double portion. This is great. Okay. Now we move on to the next the next case in the Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva's. So after we spoke about the three things that the Tanakhama speaks of in losing a chelek l'olam haba, so the last thing was the apikores. Rabbi Akiva adds, af hakorei basfarim achitzonim. So what are svarim achitzonim? The books from the outside. So it says in a braita, Tana, b'sifrei minim. He wasn't referring to just books. He was referring specifically to the sifrei minim, which are generally, is a reference to the Apocrypha. And those were books that were like, they were sort of between Christianity, Jews, all kinds of weird stuff and so on, that are really a zilzol to sifrei HaKodesh. They pretend that these are sifrei HaKodesh. And reading that kind of stuff, you can actually come to believe some of their nonsense and look at it as if it's like a good medrash or something. And most of it is garbage, and it's untrustworthy, and therefore the Chachomim did not want people to read these kind of things. And in the end, who knows, you might come to believe something that's real kfira, and you'll end up losing your chelek in olam haba. So Rabbi Akiva says, you're taking a serious chance in researching this kind of stuff and coming to believe that this is actually a correct hashkafa and so on. Fine. Actually, I shouldn't say researching, because the Rishonim speak out that for research, it's really mutter. The same way that we say that you're a bezdin is allowed to research kishov, for research avodah zarah, not in order to do, because that's what it says in the pasuk, ve'eseh kein gamoni, I too will learn how to do this kind of stuff. But the point is to be able to understand the issues that are involved and how it is that minds work and so on. Now, what Rabbi Yosef says, even Ben Sira. Now, Ben Sira is also one of the Apocrypha, right? So it's a Svarim Chitzanim. However, it seems to be Ben Sira doesn't deal with any hashkofa in Yonim in the sense of, you know, of a Zorah or belief in God or anything like that. It seems to be like a book of aphorisms. And is that also a problem? So Rav Yosef says, even Ben Sira is something that you shouldn't read because, we'll see, the Gemara is going to discuss because of what, but because even though it doesn't talk about kfira, it doesn't really talk about religious issues, but it has so much stupidity in it that it ends up like hurting your mind and wasting your time. So therefore, even though it is should be the same as general self-help literature, which is not usher, this should be us. Why? I'm like, I understand. Why is it worse? My time, why is it worse than a regular self-help book? I mean, is it because I'll give you an example. It has things in it that seem to be just nonsense. I mean, I just, okay, I mean, you're not going to get anything out of it. Don't take off the skin of a Gildana fish from the ears. The ears are they call the gills were called the ears in those days because they look around, they look like ears. Because you don't want to waste that skin. You should roast the whole fish in the fire. And that way, from the extra bit of skin, you're going to get two additional little sandwiches. So isn't that worth it? Okay, so you're going to say, all right, there's a limit to what kind of stupidities we need to read, you know? People should at least concentrate on intelligent things. Now, I disagree. What is unintelligent about that? Let's say it means it literally, okay? So then what it would be teaching you is do not waste. Waste not, want not. Even Ben Franklin said that. So if Ben Franklin said it, so it must be worth something. So why can't you read? Actually, my real point is that the Torah says that because it says, Lo tashchit et etzah. Don't waste things. So don't cut down a tree. It's the same idea. So it's not, why is that stupid? And if it's a metaphor and it's talking about sexual behavior, so that, which by the way, we know the Gemara always uses how to eat fish as a mushel for how to have intercourse. Remember, that's all the sugyas in the Dorim. So maybe that's what you think it means. Okay, but then it's also telling you something that is derech eretz. I mean, nothing so bad about that. The lowly vosha lokidarka, it's saying, if you're going to have sex, have it normally and don't take all kinds of strange positions. Okay, there's nothing terrible about that, is it? You can't say that would be the reason not to read Ben Sira. All right, how about this one? Maybe it's the business that he writes about children being highly overrated. So he says, Batla via matmonichav. You know, a daughter, yeah, it's a treasure, but it's a phony treasure. You got nothing from problems with, it's all problems. You never end up sleeping at night because you got to worry your whole life about her. When she's little, now you got to worry somebody is going to abuse her. Shema titpate. When she's already old enough to be like 12, she'll go out for it herself. So shema tizne. You got to worry about her behavior. When she's old enough to get married, she's already 12 and a half. Maybe she won't find a husband and she'll be an old maid at 13. So shema lo tinase. If she gets married, shema lo yelabadim. Do I know if she's going to have children or not? She's an old lady already. Now you got to worry about her. She's going to turn to Kishuf. You know, that's what they do to keep themselves busy. Some kind of card games or something. So anyway, your whole life, you're sitting there worrying about your daughter. What do you need a daughter for? So you can tell me that's why you shouldn't read Ben Sira. But we find a Gemara like that. A Rabbanan Nami Amrua. We had this back in Baba Basra. Ef shalo lam belo zecharim ubelone kevod. Look, it's true, you gotta have them, and you can't live without them. But you also can't live with them. So, Ashrei Misha Banav Zechorim, Oilola Misha Banav Nekevas. So, you find the same guy. If you think that's stupid, so then the Gemara and Baba Basra is stupid. So, what's wrong with Ben Sira? Maybe it's because, Salamishum Dichtiv, Lo Ta'el Davia Bilibach, the Gavrei Giborin Katal Davia. Don't allow worrying into your life because the strongest people have been crushed and destroyed just by stress of worry. What's the point of worrying? So say, what kind of advice? What's the point of worrying? You tell a person, don't worry. Thank you very much. What me worry? And we should all be Alfred E. Newman. Maybe that's what you think is the problem. Shlomo HaMelech said the same thing. Da'aga b'levish yashchena. If person worries, it's going to crush him. But it also means, Yashchena, let him crush it. Which means, says Rabbami Rabasi, you could read that word as Yasichena midato. Just put it out of your mind. Or it could mean Yasichena la'acherim. It could mean speak it over with your friends, and maybe you'll be able to share not only their therapeutic advice, but maybe just the sharing itself will be able to make you feel better. But, I mean, clearly, there is a serious concern about the stress that's created from worry. And Shlomo HaMelech says basically the same thing. And what, you're going to laugh at Shlomo HaMelech too? So maybe it's because you don't like the part about Mina rabim mitoch beitecha v'lo hakol tavi el beitecha. So first of all, it says, keep the people in general, if you don't have anything to do with them, don't let them get near your house. And even those people that you do have business with, you don't have to bring them inside of the house. Well, Rebbe said the same thing. We have a braita that says, Rebbe Omer, la'olam lo yarbe adam re'im betoch beito. It's not a good idea to have lots of friends in your house. Shenemar ish re'im lehitro'eya. If you've got a bunch of friends in your house, believe me, you're screwed. One of these days, somebody is going to hurt you. And all you're doing is opening yourself up. You expose yourself to people, you're going to end up with lehitro'eya. So there's nothing wrong with saying that either. Maybe it's because of the stupid comments about the way people's beards are being an indication of their brains. So it says stupid stuff there like Zaldekan Kurtaman. So if a guy has a thin beard, he must be very, very wise. Yeah. Avdekan, if he's got a thick beard, he's a sachsan. So he's an idiot. Okay. Or something like, if a guy can afford to blow off the foam from his beer, he obviously isn't really thirsty. If he was really thirsty, what's wrong with drinking the foam? Is that the problem? Or if a guy says, gosh, what am I going to have this with this bread? I mean, it's just plain bread. I don't have any hummus. I don't have any butter. Believe me, if he's looking for something to eat with his bread, he ain't really hungry. Take the bread away from him. Okay. So, Omar b'mayech lachma, lachma savmine. Take away his bread. Or, man de isle ma'abarta bedikne, kule amal oleachlile. If a guy's got his beard pulled into two separate parts going in different directions, he obviously has been stroking his beard for so long, he must have been thinking like the thinker for a half a century already. Nobody can better him. He's going to outthink anyone. Okay. So this is ridiculous. So because of that, you're saying you're not allowed to read it. Okay. That I understand. That's possible. Meanwhile, we're learning all about Ben Sira, which you're not supposed to read. What's that? No. If it's a comedy book and says it's a comedy book, that's fine. The Yerushalmi actually speaks that out, Beferish. That the other books that are not, they're not claiming to be anything. But this thing claims to be part of the Kisvei HaKodesh, it's part of the Apocrypha, it's supposedly written with Ruach HaKodesh. I mean, it's horrible to put out total nonsense and to get people thinking. Unfortunately, look around today, the total nonsense that people believe is holy. And look what it does to them. Believing that nonsense is holy is murder. Because you lose your ability to actually think intelligently and to have any type of ability to be mavdil, bin kodesh l'chol. That's terribly dangerous. But it says beferish in the Yerushalmi. There's no iser to read. You want to read Greek plays? Read Greek plays. I mean, nobody's pretending there's anything real in that. Omer of Yosef, look, even though we said you're not supposed to be reading it, but milim al yata diit pe darshin alu, there are things that are insightful. And if you're aware of those insightful things, you can certainly use them in a drasha. And, you know, you could quote it as Ben Sira, but there you're not making it into something that's more than some individual's, you know, he's some fables. So Ben Sira's fables. Isha tova, matana tova, b'cheik yirei Elohim tinatein. A good wife is given into the arms of a person who has Yirat Shamayim. Okay, so that makes people understand that the relationship with a wife is a function of how much he is a Yirat Hashem. Isha ra'at tzara'at l'ba'ala. Ma'itakanta yigarshena mi beito v'yitrape mitzara'ato. or you could teach people, a bad wife is like having tzaraat. So what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to sit there and live with tzaraat because you're married to her. You go to a doctor and you have the tzaraat cut out, no? So throw her out of the house and cure your tzaraat. What's the mila of living with illness? Or, isha yafa ashrei ba'ala mispar yamav kiflayin. Happy is the man with a beautiful wife. It's like his lifetime is double its regular size. Okay, so that means to make sure that you actually are makbid on yofi because it saves you from sinning. Keep your eyes off of these charming women, especially when they're married to somebody else. All you need to do is get caught in that trap. Altat etzobala, don't even go to her husband in his house. You're going to sit there and drink in his house, and she's going to be walking in and out and swinging her hips and winking. You don't need that. Kibetari shayafya rabi mushatu. Just because of the shape of a beautiful woman, lots of people have been destroyed. Vatsumim kol harugah. She's got lots of murder victims on her hands. Rabima, or another thing. Rabima yupitz a rochel. There's a lot of punches that the Avon men have gotten because when their husbands walk in and they're sitting there with their wives and trying on this piece of jewelry, and how about if you'd like to try it, they get punched in the face and thrown out on the ground. And that's the kind of thing you got to be careful about. Hamargilim lidvar erva kinitzutz mav ir gachelet. People who get involved in that kind of thing, so it's a, sort of a continuation with the same idea that you're going to be doing this work with women. Doesn't take much to start a forest fire. It takes one little spark. Kichluv malei of kein batehem meleim mirma. What happens when you got a chicken coop that's overfilled? Are you going to hide the chicken? No. There's always going to be a wing sticking out over here and a foot sticking out over there and feathers flying out. You think nobody knows what they're tipping toeing down there for. Everybody knows. And therefore, it's full of mirma and just destroys things. Or, minara bim mitoch betecha v'lo kakot avi betecha. We had that before. Or, rabimi yudarsh eish lomecha, but galei sotcha le'achad mi'alaf. You can have lots of people who are interested to know how you're doing. Yeah, send dash, dorei shalom to so-and-so. That's fine. But don't say anything intimate to anybody. One out of 1,000 you can share things with. And never say anything to your wife. Mishochevet chekecha, shemor pitchei picha. Keep your mouth shut from that woman who sleeps in your lap. Al teitzar tzarat machar, ki lo teida ma yeled yom. Why worry about tomorrow when you have no idea if you'll be alive tomorrow? After all, shemala machar einenu, maybe tomorrow will never come. V'nimtza mitzta'er al olam she'eno shelo. Look at all of these worries where it's not even a world that you are going to share. So don't bother worrying about it. Or, kol yemei ani ra'im. The first we quote from Mishlei. Yes, this is what Shlomo HaMelech said. But Ben Sira adds, don't think it means only the days of the ani are ra'im. Af leilot. So Ben Sira omer, even the nights are bad. Bishval gagim gago, bimrom harim karmo, mimtar ganim legago, v'meyafar kamo lakrabim. So where does he live? He lives in the slums, because he can't afford any better. So that means that all of the water that's coming down from those houses up the street where all the beautiful mansions are, they're all going to land on his roof, and it's all going to be dripping into his bedroom. And where is his vineyard? All the way on the top of the mountain, swept by winds, and nobody else can farm it. It was the only land that he could possibly afford. And he's got to work his head off, dragging up a little bit of topsoil, which then is blown off and comes down into the topsoil of all the rich people down in the valley. So that's what it's like being an ani. Omer Abizera Omarav, my dechtiv kol yemei ani ra'im. What really is the meaning of Shlomo HaMelech's point? Who are the ani? that he's referring to. These are Baalei Talmud. These are people that are learning Gemara, and they never can get to the bottom of this sugya. No matter how much they put in, somebody's going to come in with a different svara. And therefore, no matter what you do, it's never a victory. So it's always bad. But tov lev mishte tamin, people that have good hearts, they're always having fun in life. Those are people that are Baalei Mishnah. They don't need to get to the bottom of a sugya. They're very happy learning, and they can memorize their Mishnayos. They can go dancing down the street. I've mastered it, and they're feeling good about life, and they can sit back and make a siyum with a nice l'chaim every single day. That's the way to live. Rava says, nah, get out of here, just the opposite. Hainu di omer, Rav Mesharsha, Mishmeder Rava. Mai dechtiv masia avanim ye'atzev behem. What does it mean when it says in Kohelet, people who go and cut stones from the ground, they're going to make you very sad in the end? What is that referring to? Because afterwards you have to note the end of the pasuk. Bokea etzim yisachen bam. People who cut down trees, they'll be warmed by the trees that they cut down. So what's that mean? So people who cut stones, that's Baalei Mishnah. Bokea etzim, that's Baalei Talmud. Because you think you're cutting all of these beautiful stones and you got yourself these Mishnayos, and now what are you going to do with them? You can't paskin halacha from them because you don't understand what you're talking about. So you cut all of these wonderful stones to put in your fireplace and now try to get warm. Masha'in kein, if you worked out on the Gemara, then yisachein bam, you can warm yourself. You have a shayla, you're able to respond. Question in life, you have the insights of the Gemara. That's how I say it. It's just the opposite. Rabbi Chanina Imer, when it says, ko yime ani ra'im, that's somebody who has a bad wife. No matter what, it's always going to be miserable. Tov lev mishte tamid refers to ze sheyesh lo isha tova. Rabbi Yanai says, ko yime ani ra'im. You know what an ani is? An ani is an istenis, a person who's very sensitive, and everything bothers him. So he's got a miserable life. Tov lev mishte tamid, somebody who doesn't give a hang about anything. Zeshadato yafeh, he's always happy. What do I care? So this doesn't work. The fridge broke down. The hell with the fridge. And so on and so forth. So that kind of person, yeah, every day is happy because I don't really care. It's so hot, I can barely breathe. Hot, I didn't notice. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, ko yimei ani ra'im, refers to a person who cares about other people. Zerachmani. If you care about other people, your life is going to be miserable because there's so much pain in this world. Your compassion is going to murder you. But tov lev mishte tamid, that's a guy who's mean, cruel, callous, uncaring. A guy like that is always happy. What's there to be unhappy about? What do you mean? They're starving in Uganda. They're being murdered in Somalia. The Palestinians are suffering from no medical care. No. It doesn't bother me. So, that's the Achzaris. He's perfectly happy. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omer, ko yimei ani ra'im, refers to someone shedato k'tzara. He's got no patience for anyone. Tov lev mishte tamid, mishedato rechava. And he doesn't care the way it is that people talk to him and so on. The Omer of Yeshua ben Levi, I just want to finish the story of the Ko Yimei Ani Ra'im. The Omer of Yeshua ben Levi is the last one. Ko Yimei Ani Ra'im. That seems to be an exaggeration. I mean, even an Ani has got a chont for Shabbos, doesn't he? He must have some herring. He can always go to shul and sit in a brocha after the shul, and then he'll have a happy day. So don't say every day. Say every day except Shabbos. Hayika Shabbatot, and what about Yom Tov? Ah, this is going Aliba de Shmuel. It's Ko Yimei Ani Ra'im because the very fact that he has food on Shabbos and Yom Tov is going to give him stomach problems. And Shmuel explained, Shinui Veset, when you change your normal diet, that's the beginning of getting stomach problems. Tchilas Chol Me'ayim. So every day is bad. The normal day, he doesn't have what to eat. And when he does have something to eat, it's going to make him sick. Okay, Rabbosai. Lovely.